Good morning. Thank you for being here and sticking it out to the end. I appreciate it. This morning I'll be talking about what matters in public health recruiting. What matters in recruiting public health employees. There we go. Considerations for filling workforce gaps. As she said, I'm Jana Vishnevsky. I'm a doctoral student at Tulane. I'd like to also acknowledge some of my co-authors are here this morning. Dr. Valerie Yeager, also from Tulane, is here. Kathleen Amos from the Public Health Foundation. And we also worked with Ron Bialik from the Public Health Foundation. Like everyone else, I have no financial relationships to disclose. So as I'm sure most of you are aware, for several decades, the United States has experienced profound gaps in its public health workforce, and actually these shortages are increasing rather than decreasing. A 2014 profile of state health departments reported a recent loss of 46,000 positions due to budget cuts. So these were either people who were let go or open positions that were eliminated and thought not to be filled. At the same time, 26% of state and local employees will be eligible to retire as of 2016. So even with the recent positions that have been eliminated, we still project that we will need to add around 200,000 new public health workers over the next decade in order to fill open positions and meet our nation's public health needs. And there's some evidence that policymakers are aware of these shortages and the need to strengthen our workforce. For example, the Affordable Care Act contains 19 provisions for the strengthening of the public health workforce, although to date, most of these have not been funded, and some of them have not been funded at all. So what can we do? I think probably a good practical first step would be to try and understand the factors that attracted our current workforce to their jobs so that these factors can be protected as budgets change and priorities change. We can know what's really important and needs to be preserved. We can strengthen those factors, and we can promote them in our recruitment efforts. However, up until now, we really have limited knowledge as to what factors even matter to people who are joining public health. And in this study, we're really focusing on governmental public health, although some of the principles could apply to other settings as well. We found one qualitative study that was done, I believe, in 2008, in six large communities across six states that was interviewing employees representatives from state and local public health departments. And these respondents reported just a general lack of enthusiasm for public health careers, which is kind of too bad because they're in public health careers. And they cited, for the most part, limited opportunities for advancement and continuing education, additional training, same kinds of things my panelists have been talking about this morning. And so the authors recommended things like tuition reimbursement, release time for additional training, and financial incentives for obtaining advanced degrees, which really would matter to these employees and make them happier in their jobs. So this study was a really good start. However, it was qualitative, and it was done in a limited number of areas. And so it's really kind of setting the groundwork for a more nationally representative, quantitative study of what matters to the public health workforce. So that's what brought us here today. So our study objectives were to determine the factors that may influence the decision to join governmental public health. And specifically, we want to explore the differences based on the respondents' setting prior to joining governmental public health. So we're looking at those who came from healthcare services specifically, those who came from the private industry, and those who came directly from public health degree programs. Now, there are other settings where we draw workers to governmental public health, but we're focused on these because these are the areas from which we can draw the professionals that are needed most. So the majority of our shortages are of either clinicians, so nurses, doctors, social workers, dietitians, people like that, laboratory professionals, that kind of thing, and then epidemiologists and environmental health professionals. And so as you can see, a lot of those roles will be coming from these areas. So that's why we're focused on these. We use data from the Council on Linkages Between Academia and Public Health Practices 2010 survey of the public health workforce. And this survey was distributed in 2010 to all users with active accounts in the TRAIN system, actually, the Public Health Foundation's learning management system. The purpose of the survey was threefold. They wanted to determine the factors that initially attracted employees to public health, and that's what we're mostly talking about today. They were also looking at their level of job satisfaction currently, and then the factors that impact their decision to remain in the field. And while the survey wasn't limited to employees of governmental agencies, it did have expanded sections for those employees. In total, 11,640 respondents responded to the survey, and of these, we selected those who reported that they were current employees of governmental public health, which came out to 6,939 respondents. Of these, 31% roughly came from healthcare services, 24% came from private industry, around 9% from public health degree programs directly, and then the rest from various other settings. So the question that we were most interested in was where respondents rated the degree to which they were influenced to work in governmental public health by 12 organizational factors and then 9 personal factors, which we're calling generally recruitment factors. And these factors were rated individually, so they weren't compared to each other, but they were rated individually on an 11-point Likert scale from no influence in their decision to join governmental public health up to a lot of influence. So in addition to running the sample characteristics and the means, we also ran a multivariate regression looking at the differences between the influence of these characteristics on each group compared to the rest of the sample. And we had the usual controls for demographics as well as controlling for their organizational jurisdiction, so whether they worked at the local, state, or national level. So what did we find? I'll just run quickly through the sample characteristics. We first looked at the current role that these employees were working in, and we found nothing too surprising. Those from healthcare services were primarily nurses, 58% of them. And then the next most popular role was being an administrator, director, or manager. Those from private industry were administrative support staff and administrators, directors, and managers, although there were sizable numbers of nurses and also environmental health specialists. And those coming from public health degree programs started as directors, administrators, managers, and also your epidemiologists, statisticians, and data analysts. Now, moving on to education level, my boxes disappeared somehow, but the most notable difference in this group was that, as you would expect, those coming from public health degree programs were, on average, the most highly educated of the groups, with over 60% holding a master's degree or higher. At the same time, this group was the youngest overall, with over 50% being under the age of 44, and the other two groups were generally a little bit older. Gender, nothing surprising here at all, overwhelmingly female, with the largest representation in nurses or in healthcare services, which is mostly nurses, at 86%. And finally, jurisdiction, for the most part, they worked at either the local or the national level in the sample, although there were some from state as well. So as I said, they rated factors. There were organizational factors and then personal factors. So I'll talk about the organizational factors first. This table shows the mean rating of each of the factors overall and then broken out by their prior setting. So it's interesting to see that the top 5 factors were the same across all 5 groups. So the order may be a little different in their, you know, which was first, which was second, but for the most part, they were all influenced by the same things. And the number one organizational factor was that they really cared about their specific duties and responsibilities in their decision to join governmental public health. This was followed by their competitive benefits. They cared about job security. They cared about identifying with the mission of the organization. And they cared about opportunities for training and continuing education. This table shows the results of our regression. So I'll try to explain what we did here. The coefficients that are circled were statistically significant. And if they're circled in blue, that means that that factor was statistically more influential to that group. And if it's red, it was statistically less influential. So starting with healthcare services, they were really motivated by a range of factors. And the strongest of these, the higher the coefficient, the more strong the factor, was the flexibility of their work schedule, followed by their autonomy and employment, or autonomy and empowerment. They also cared a lot about their ability to innovate, opportunities for training, and things like that. Looking at private industry, they were more influenced by 2 factors, which were their competitive benefits and their job security. And they were undermotivated by a range of factors, which you can see up here. And then finally, public health degree programs were a little bit different. They really cared about their opportunities for training and continuing education, their ability to innovate, and their opportunities for promotion. Moving on to the personal factors. Again, the top few were the same across all 4 groups, in this case the top 4, although again the order may be a little different. They all cared about the same things. The number one factor was having a personal commitment to public service. This was followed by enjoying living in the area, wanting a job in the public health field, and wanting to live close to their family and friends. Looking at the regression for the personal factors, those coming from healthcare services were generally more influenced by their commitment to public service than were the others in the survey, as well as wanting a job in the public health field. And as you would expect, they didn't care so much about needing a job, not mattering if it was in public health. Those from private industry weren't particularly motivated by anything, so I will skip them. And those coming from public health degree programs cared a lot about their personal service, their personal commitment to public service, wanting to work in the public health field, and also wanting to work with specific individuals. So what does this mean? What can we do with this for recruitment? And we wanted to try and offer some really practical suggestions for people who may be trying to attract people to their health department or strategizing around this issue. So the first thing that jumped out to us was that organizational factors in general were rated higher than personal factors. And this is really good news for health departments because these are the factors that they have some influence over. So while your health department can't control whether you have friends in the area, they can control maybe your benefits package, or at least have influence over it. So that's really good news. And these are the top, I guess, four most influential organizational factors. People care about what they're doing at work, they care about their benefits, they really care about the mission, and they care about their job security. And you'll notice what's not up here is your salary, which is interesting. I think that people often think that people don't want to work in public health because of their salary, which may be true, but you can see here that our current employees are motivated by other things. So what can we do with this information? First, we think that it's really key to recognize the importance of competitive benefits. Employees like their benefits package. They would like these to be maintained. This is keeping them in their jobs. And also highlighting these benefits in job postings might attract more people. If they don't know about it, they don't know that they're attracted to it. So really highlighting that when you're trying to recruit would be good. And also, because employees care so much about what they're doing at work and they care so much about the mission, really putting that into the job descriptions and into your recruitment efforts would be a benefit because as people are looking for jobs, they're looking for a place where they'll be happy and that will line up with their, you know, their personal commitments and their personal expectations. So putting it out there that you have that could really help you attract more employees. In terms of the personal factors, for those coming from healthcare services, so mostly your nurses and other clinicians, and those coming from public health degree programs, which will be epidemiologists, statisticians, people like that, care about working in public health. They put significant investment into health and sometimes into public health degree programs, and they want to work there. And they also care a lot about their personal commitment to public service and public health. So what can we do about this? Our first idea is to try and look at the barriers that may be keeping us from recruiting recent graduates. So you have people that are motivated and have skills and want to work in public health, and yet we still have these workforce shortages. So something may not be lining up, something might be getting in the way of that, and so understanding that further may be beneficial to recruitment. And also, again, we're just harping on it, emphasizing the mission of public service in public health will help attract people to these jobs, where that's what you do every day is you go out and serve your community. So now looking specifically at what matters to those coming from healthcare services, this group in general tended to highly rate those factors that are associated with their daily work. So what they were doing, what their tasks were, what their schedule is like, and that kind of thing. So when recruiting this group, considering opportunities for things like flexible scheduling, the ability to work remotely if that's possible. If someone's just doing paperwork all day, maybe they can do that from home or from somewhere else. Would be really good to this group that cares very much about their experience of work on a daily basis. In contrast, those coming from public health degree programs are very concerned with career-related factors. They want to know that there are opportunities to be promoted and to continue to grow and learn and serve in their careers. And so when recruiting this group, we really think that articulating a career path for entry-level employees may be really beneficial so that a grad with an MPH knows that there is a path for them to proceed in their career and that they won't be stuck in the entry-level job that they take first when they're out of school could be really beneficial in recruiting this group. Also, whenever possible, I know budgets are tight, but this group is asking for support for continuing education, either with flexible scheduling to go and take classes or even financial incentives for doing so. And even if that's not possible, as my counterpart was talking about, giving them opportunities to train at the workplace and gain new skills and experiences is really powerful to this group and could be a good way to attract them and keep them in their jobs. So this study, like any study, has a number of strengths and limitations, so I'll just go through these quickly. As far as we know, this was the largest survey of the public health workforce to date, And although we had respondents from all 50 states, 26 states made up the bulk of the responses. So it's about half, more than half. And our sample was large at almost 7,000 respondents. However, the response rate to the survey was 17%. And you may think this looks low, but actually we found for an email survey it's a pretty good response rate. So we're happy with that. And although we looked at those who are currently employed in governmental public health, we could not consider those who are not working in governmental public health, who have chosen not to work or who are considering it to see what the factors are that influence them. We just didn't have that data, but we think that that might be a really good next step. So in conclusion, this study has information that can be used to strategize towards filling some of the gaps in our public health workforce. And we think that exploring the factors that influence individuals who are not choosing to work in governmental public health would be, as I said, an important next step. So as we move into questions, we are really interested not only in your questions, but in your feedback, as we're trying to strategize around this issue and really solidify our thinking around what's keeping people out of public health and what's attracting them to it. So we look forward to your feedback. Thank you so much.